Welcome to the Change Your World Mindset and Goal Setting for 2016 Virtual Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the fabulous Ms. Shahara Wright. Shahara, why don't you take it from here?
Hello, all. Thank you for listening in today. As Tanya said, I'm Shahara Wright. I'm a business law attorney. I've been practicing for over 17 years in the greater Houston area, and I've been working with small businesses from everything from a day-to-day legal advice to working with them in implementing strategies. And this year started a new company called the CEO Effect. And the CEO Effect is dedicated to working with small businesses and helping them implement strategies into their business and strategies on various different levels. And that includes legal, financial, marketing, and management strategies to help them improve their business and go to the next level. And this time we're going to speak about business trends, the 2016 business trends that have been predicted by some leading experts in various industries. And what I decided to do was really kind of look at some of these trends and how they apply to people in the speaking industry or in coaching industry, since many of people are listening or in that industry, and what we can do to better our businesses. I really started focusing on looking at business trends a couple of years ago when I started working with a client and really trying to understand the trends in that industry, and it really helped us to really focus in on what was important, not only what the experts were predicting, but also what the people on the ground were predicting in terms of what they wanted and needed. And it really helped us to focus our product, it helped us focus our marketing to be able to meet the needs of the consumer. And so I started applying that to my own business, and especially in this new business, about what trends are important. Now, some of these trends that we're going to talk about are probably already in place, some of the things you're probably doing, but you want to know if you need to continue doing it, do you need to continue to do it in a different way, and what areas do you need to focus on. So I want to just encourage you that as you listen to the trends and as we talk about them, that you take a look back at your own plans for 2016, and if you haven't incorporated these things, make sure you do, and also make sure that you figure out, are you tweaking them in a way that's going to help your business? Because some of these trends you may find that are big trends that are going on, and you may think they may not apply to you, but they do. Or you may think that you're already doing them, but you can figure out how you can do them better. And so that's one of the things that we want to talk about. So what I did was I picked out about four trends. And these four trends come from areas such as Forbes. It comes from an organization called the Business News Daily and one other economic indicator, Armando Raggio. And so we're going to talk about the first one, which is from Forbes, which is connecting customers. And Forbes predicts that, you know, we're in what they call a connection economy. And this rewards value by creating connections rather than building assets. And so Forbes says, you know, all of the new big small businesses that are out there, such as Airbnb, obviously Uber, and a couple of other ones, that really do connect. They connect buyers and sellers, or they connect consumers to content. And so the question is, in what ways are you connecting customers, and what are you connecting them to? It's important to a consumer to consider in your business how you can connect and incorporate value by connections and provide a way for customers to connect. And these connections, in my opinion, should not be a possibility, but they should be actual connections. And I'm going to give this example since I'm recently single, and so I can use this service, I think, as an indicator of how you can distinguish between the possibility and the actual connection. So I'm going to use an example of a dating service. So it's something like Match.com that has a possibility of connection. So what Match.com does is it brings a large, large, large group of people together. You have ways to indicate to people how you like them. You can send them a wink. You can like their page. You can send them a note. There's all kinds of things. Sometimes people will connect with you. Sometimes they won't. But you don't have a guarantee in terms of connection. And when I say connection, I don't mean like love and fall in love, but a connection as in actually speaking to someone. You don't know if they're going to respond back to you. You don't know how that's going to go. It's very touch and go in terms of that. So when you sign up, you may meet somebody, you may get to know somebody, or somebody may not ever speak to you. So that's one way, what I call a possibility of connections. But there are other dating services that have you actually meet people. So a service called It's Just Lunch actually sets up dates for you. So after they take your profile, they set you up on a date. It's just over lunch. It may be 30 minutes. It may be an hour. And it's just lunch. You're just talking, as they say. And but you've actually met a face-to-face. You actually know that you're actually speaking to somebody, whether or not you like them or not is, of course, up to you, but you actually made that connection with somebody in person. And so there's going to be something that you can say that, hey, I did actually have this many dates, or I did actually meet this many people, and that makes a big difference. So obviously you're going to have different people that like different things. Some people may not want that initial interaction where they actually meet somebody and talk to somebody up front. Some people may like the possibility of meeting people and like that anonymity at first. And so you have to kind of decide what works for you and your customers and what works well in terms of putting it into your business. So how do those connections make? So it's important to figure out which demographic you're going to appeal to. Are you going to appeal to the possibility of connections? So I would say a networking group where you have several networking groups like PSA, where you have these opportunities to meet people and to get to know people. And then you also have things that PSA does in terms of having actual seminars and actual conferences where you will be guaranteed to meet people. So there's two ways to kind of look at that. You can incorporate both. You can incorporate one or the other, but you need to make sure that that's a part of what you do. It's how you connect people. Just as our previous speaker was talking about goals and setting goals, one of the things that you look at is how to take that to another level and say, okay, how can I add this portion into connecting people with something that they need or want, because that's important, especially given the vast need out there, and also the web and everything else that's out there. The world is growing, but it's also getting smaller, and people are always looking for ways to actually connect. Now, another thing that Forbes really focused on and talked about is millennials. And I know they're all the rage and all the talk, especially around baby boomers and Gen X, such as my generation, talk about millennials. But I think it's time to really talk about this group in a more dynamic way, to really think about how you incorporate millennials into your business, not just as consumers, maybe as employees, maybe just as somebody that's a part of how you speak and who you speak to. And so the millennials are the largest group of individuals, according to the Census Bureau, as people in their 20s. The millennials really make up, according to, you know, the people who decide what a generation is, people born between 1980 and 2000, which is a really large group, about 20 years, which is about a generation, but it's a really large group of people. So these people may be anywhere between in their 30s or just like my son, who was born in 1997, 18. And so you got a lot of kids that are coming up in there. But they're a really large group, outnumbering, obviously, the baby boomers, and especially highly outnumbering the Generation X people that exist right now. So we have to really think about them. They are not only going to be the largest customer base, the larger employment segment, but they also are going to soon be the largest business owner segment. And that's significant, especially to those of us who are speakers and coaches, that, you know, these people are out there and they are going to eclipse any and everything that you have going on. So you have to be able to deal with the generation and understand them and understand what it is that they're interested in. Now, these are people who have lived their life without, have not lived their life without the internet. They have obviously lived all of their lives with the internet and personal tech devices. So it's important to be able to learn how to connect and collect easily, something where you're dealing with snail mail and you don't have a way to people easily access you through email and text messages, because this is what these kids like these days, and I guess all of them aren't really kids anymore. But, you know, you have to be able to have easy access, an easy way to connect, and that's important. One of the things that's most important, and I know my son says this to me all the time, is that they don't like labels. They don't like being labeled, and while labels have, you know, been a part of American staples forever, you know, we always have a check the box where you're male or female, you're black, you're white, you're Hispanic, as a way to, you know, kind of figure out who you have. The Millennials don't like labels. They don't like that check the box. They don't like the idea of you saying that who they are and what they are. And so that's important to understand, especially as you tone your message around understanding a generation that doesn't like to be labeled and doesn't like to say, okay, well, you're black and so this means this, and you're female and this means this, and this is how you act because you are in this particular box. They don't particularly like that. So even in being called millennials, they don't mind the terminology, but they do not like the connotations that come about it. They also challenge the notion of old school and old school thought about how things are always done. So you have to understand that in dealing with millennials, that you cannot just assume that how things are always done, that that's going to be how they react to it. They're really challenging that, saying, no, I don't have to do it this way. I can do it another way, and it's going to be just fine. They're always looking for something new and out of the box and a different way of doing things that challenges these old notions. So it's going to be important for you to be flexible. And dealing with millennials is less about understanding millennials and more about millennials understanding you. And what that means is you have to be something that people can believe in and support. That's important. But also that is important is that how it benefits them, right? My son always says, you know, if it doesn't benefit me, I don't really know why I want to do this. It's not important. I don't understand. If I'm not getting something out of it, I don't know why I would do it. And they don't do things just for the sake of doing things, just for the sake of saying it needs to be done, but they do things because they believe not only is it benefit to them, but it's something that's important to them. So they give not because they think they're going to get back, but because they give because it's something that's important for them to give to. They work because they want to do this particular work, and they feel that this work is benefiting them and their long-term goals. So it's important to understand that. And the market for millennials is about challenging those notions, challenging those old world notions, and breaking open something new. The world is wide open, and this generation is not fearful of it. So it's really important to change, embrace change, and understand that when you're dealing with this generation, change is important, and how they can be a part of that change is also important. So another business trend that's really important these days, which is really marked by Business News Daily, is cybersecurity. And this is something that a lot of small businesses tend to overlook. They don't pay attention to. And that's because I think people believe that because they're small businesses that people don't care, they're not thinking about them, and, you know, why would anybody hack me because I'm a small business? But with this day and age, with the cloud and everything being on the cloud and everything being internet-based, your business information is a part of larger businesses, and therefore you have to understand that you're going to be affected whether you think you are large and important and or not. So that's something to think about. There is an increase in cyber attacks targeting small businesses. It's already really started in Australia. They've been dealing with that, and you soon to be here in the U.S. There is a market for cybercrime. There are people who hire hackers to hack into particular industries, and it doesn't necessarily mean something like Anonymous who's hacking into government sites, but it could be somebody, a client, who hires somebody to hack into your system. It could be a competitor who hires somebody to hack into your system. So there are people, an industry for hacking campaigns, and so it's important for you to realize that and understand that and make sure that you protect your information and protect your software and protect your clients' information. So one of the things that you should be doing if you're not already doing is making sure you have security. Obviously, if you're mobile like I am and you have your computer and you take it everywhere you go, you want to make sure that you have passwords to get on the computer. You have passwords into all your software so that it's not easy for someone to access and download. You also want to make sure, especially with your phone, that you have passcodes connected not only to turn the phone on, but also to any of the devices that are important to you that you utilize. That's something that you need to have. And another thing that you need to make sure that you have is your own backup drive. So a lot of times people save things onto the cloud, which is great. I do it too. But you also need to have your own hard drive. So take those things off of your computer, off your phone, the things that you have in your cloud, and have your own hard drive and save it to your hard drive. Because as much as I love Dropbox, and I am a big Dropbox fan, Dropbox could be hacked. Dropbox server could go down. Anything could happen with Dropbox at any time, and I may not be able to access my information. So in order to do that, I need to be able to have my own information with me, and that means having my own hard drive. And so that's something important that you need to do is backing up your information and then getting that hard drive, those portable hard drives, if that's what you're using, and keeping it somewhere safe. So if you have a flood or something happens, that you're able to access that information with and not let it get destroyed. So those are things that are important. You have to understand that you are vulnerable as a small business, and so you need to make sure that you protect yourself as much as possible. And last but not least is everybody's favorite subject, which is content marketing. And one of the things that I found interesting that Armando Raggio pointed out was this question of whether or not there was saturation and can you really stand out with the amount of content marketing that's online. And he basically said that while, you know, there's some question about content saturation, there's a concern about content saturation, he believes that there's still limitless opportunities for content marketing. And there are VC firms that estimate that Americans spend 5.6 hours per day with digital media. That's a lot of time, and I'm probably one of them, and I probably spend more time than that with digital media. So content marketing is really important. So you want to make sure, obviously, that you not only have that as a part of your strategy, not just your marketing strategy, but a part of your business in whole, because it's important not only to what you're doing, but people really do look at it. People really do use the internet for content. And how you incorporate that is important. So a lot of people have newsletters, which are important. People have blogs, which are important. Some people have videos, which is important. So having those various different methods of having content is important. So if you have your blog, you have your newsletter, you have video, different people access content in different ways. So these are ways that you can promote your business and promote your products and everything that you're doing. There are people that can create content, so a lot of businesses, larger businesses, are hiring people to create content, so that may be something that you can add to your repertoire, which is creating content for larger businesses and mid-sized companies. And also there's a new trend that's coming around, which is machine-generated content, and that is becoming hot in the new future. They're already doing that for products. There's a company call Automated Insights, which uses product source data and algorithms to generate machine-written product descriptions. So if it's a shoe, you describe the shoe, they take that information, algorithms around shoes and those types of things, and they create a product description. And so that's going to probably take off more just past the actual product, but into services as well that are well defined. So you want to try to find a niche within that about how you do your content generation and how you provide content not only for your own business but maybe even to others, and putting that out there as an opportunity to be able to create content for others. So those are my four major business 2016 business trends that I have. Like I said, I'm with the CEO Effect, and one of the things that we are starting off 2016 with is called It's Cost to Be the Boss Virtual Presentation Series. And we will hold these on the second Wednesday of every month, and each month will be a different topic, and it'll focus on the four strategies that I talked to you about: marketing, legal, financial, and management. And we'll have a guest that will be with us on our virtual presentation. Our January series is going to start off with how to increase your cash flow. And if you're anything like me, that's really important in a small business, about keeping that cash flow moving and going up, and so that you're not always kind of living in the negative and robbing Peter to pay Paul, and how to deal with that. And we will have our guest, Michael Rose, that will be, he's a CPA, and he will be online with us in this virtual presentation. The cost is $19.95, but you get a lot of great information. And we also are going to start off with some e-series, e-courses that are going to talk about strategy, and talk about some legal fundamentals and financial fundamentals as well. To get more information about how to be a part of the virtual presentation series, you can go to my website, www.theceoeffect.net. You can also email me at swright, that's S-W-R-I-G-H-T, at theceoeffect.net. And you can sign up for our newsletter, that's on the website, and that's how you can be there. We also have a Facebook page at CEO Effect, CEOEFFECT, that's the Facebook page, and Twitter, we have the CEO Effect, that's TheCEOEFFECT. I hope that you will join us in 2016, join us in 2016, and just be a part of what we're doing. Really what we want to do is allow you to be able to put your business in position to accelerate growth, to be able to do the things that you need to take your business to the next level. You have all the planning, you have all the strategies, now you need to implement them and know how to do that, and that's what we're here to do. We're taking your know-how and showing you actually how to do it and take it to the next level. That's it for me. I'm Shahara Wright with the CEO Effect, and I hope you enjoyed your 2015, I'm getting my years confused already. Have a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.